Hi there, welcome to Talk Canicross. I'm Janetta George.
And I'm Gail Walker. We're here today to talk all things Canicross, the fun way to get fit with your dog.
So each month we'll be joined by a special guest or two. We'll hear from professionals, regular Canicrossers, and also dog and human experts in their field. It will be real people and real stories.
So we hope you'll join us, whether it's for training tips, dog talk, or just for fun and encouragement. This is Talk Canicross, brought to you by DogFit. And don't forget to hit subscribe and keep in touch with all things Canicross.
So one of the things we love most about Canicross, and something we actively promote, is that it's really an inclusive sport. Anyone and any dog can take part, whether it's canicrossing or canitrekking, which is the hands-free walking or power walking. Over the years, we've seen many involved in Canicross, and Gail and I have seen more and more men taking part in the sport, which is fantastic. But what is it in particular that draws them into the sport? So today we're joined by two very experienced Canicrossers, Brian Slack and Gail's husband, Derry. So we've managed to capture him on the podcast. And we've invited them along to ask them about their Canicross experience from the social side, right through to taking part in an event and why they love the sport so much. So welcome, Brian and Derry. It's really lovely to have you on the show.
Hello there.
Hi, good to be here.
So yeah, let's start with Brian. Hi, Brian. It's really nice to have you along today. And I want to start with your dogs because we can't not talk about your beautiful girls. And I know you've got three dogs and one more recent than the others. So
yes.
You want to just introduce yourself and just tell us a bit about your three lovely girls.
Yeah. So first off, we have Mara, the chocolate lab, and she's been with us seven and a half years now. And she's been on and off running with me for pretty much since she was 1 year old. Next to her, we have Mimi, who's a chocolate Dalmatian, who, again, she tends to run all the longer distances with me. She'll run all the short ones as well, but she's a... Obviously, Dalmatians are carriage dogs, so they love the long distance, and she can pace herself really well. And our new addition, Mia, who is a five-month-old German Shorthaired Pointer, who is mid-fight with Mara at the moment and is full of energy. And I'm hoping when she's old enough to start canicrossing, she looks as though she's going to be absolutely superb because she loves to run. She absolutely loves to run. Even at 5 months old, she's nearly outpacing my other two dogs. And she her energy levels are sky high. So looking forward to getting canicrossing with her.
Yeah, I bet. So remind us after we've recorded the podcast and you know, to get your triple line, yeah, because I'd like to see that.
Yes.
A whole different podcast.
I'm not sure I would have all three of them all at once. Absolute chaos, but we might give it a go once or twice and film it for comic effect.
Yeah, they'll all be matching as well because they're all brown, aren't they?
So they are. Yes, I have a penchant for chocolate coloured dogs. So yes, they're all very well matched.
We'll get our listeners to tune into our social channels in about 6 or 7 months' time when Mia's ready to start. And we're going to put
I mean, she's very, very athletic. She looks as though she's going to be superb. So yes,
exciting times ahead. Yeah.
Yes, very, very exciting.
So that's your girls. So, but going back to the very beginning, because obviously you mentioned Mara, because she's your eldest.
Yes, she was my my first dog, and the reason behind her was that I just wanted somebody to go running with. Mm. I started running 2012, and I was doing a lot of road running on my own. But that after a while, I wasn't enjoying it. Because you're there on your own. So I thought I'd get Mara and do a few more runs with a bit of company. And it turned out to be probably the best decision. Well, it definitely was the best decision I'd ever made. So, yeah, she came along 2016 and we did our first Canicross run in January 2017.
So, do you remember much about that first?
I remember everything about it, absolutely everything. I remember everybody that went, and we've run with pretty much everybody bar one or two people in the last year. So they all of them are still running. We ran around Putnam, the classic Putnam route. It was very, very cold, but Mara reminded me of a little staffy. Our staffies Canicross, where when they start off, their back end goes down and the power was absolutely immense. She absolutely pulled me round, because I don't think I'd have made it otherwise. But yeah, she was absolutely superb, and she absolutely loved it. She took to it like a duck to water the first day. She really, really enjoyed it. And that was it. That was us hooked.
Yeah, and you mixed up distances. Did you take part in events as well? Or
yes, we've done all sorts. We've done half marathons. We've done the Maverick races, the 25Ks. I think that's probably the longest race distances, but social runs, we've done up to 30-odd K. The dogs absolutely love it. Absolutely love it.
Brian, it's a good excuse for you to buy more trainers, isn't it? Because we know you like your trainers.
Yes. Always a good excuse to buy trainers. And stuff for the dogs. Anything for the dogs and anything for running. Because it's one of those odd things, is that running, road running, it's great. I don't mind it. After a while, it gets very repetitive, especially when you're doing loops around your local area. Whereas I think Canicross, we do so many different routes and so many different variations of routes. And we join places together and we run places where we'd never normally think about road running. You'd never normally do that sort of thing. So you get to see some amazing places that otherwise you wouldn't do otherwise, not unless you had time during the week, which I do, but we don't often do that. It's a whole new level. You add into that the social side of it, where you're out there chatting away with people on the run round, and you get to know everybody. The time passes by like nothing. It compresses time really well. So these sort of 10, 12 milers, half marathons that you think are hard work suddenly become, is that it? Have we finished? Yeah, exactly. I wish we could go a bit further.
Yeah, amazing the difference having a dog and being with other people and off-road.
Yes. Yeah.
So just out of curiosity, so when you first started Canicrossing back in 2017, I think you said,
yeah,
were there many men in your group that you were running with? And would you say that's changed over the 6 years you've been running?
I think it ebbs and flows. I remember that first race, there were only two, me and Derry. Or first run, sorry, me and Derry. I think what happens is that there's obviously a constant flow of people that come running. A few years ago, we had a big group of men that came. They were all towards my age spectrum. I'm 56, so they were all 50s and above. And I think it's probably easier for older men to go and join a Canicross group than it is for younger men to do it. I think over the 6-odd years, we see a lot of, or I see a lot of middle-aged to old men. Is that the right way to say it?
Gentlemen.
Why
do you think that's the case? You know, why? Because obviously it's a very active sport, and actually people with their dog, yeah, you've got to go extra fast because you've got to keep, yes, up with your dog. That's what I always say. So I know there are a lot of young guys that do actually do Canicross, and
yeah,
which, especially in events and racing, but you know what, and I know there's that perception that it's, you know, a lot of women that do the sport, and like you said, it might ebb and flow with your group and other groups. I have more guys, and there's definitely a lot of guys that enjoy events, you know, taking part in races.
Yeah. I mean,
what do you think is might put off some of the younger people? You said it tends to favour the older.
I honestly don't know. I can theorise maybe that for them, the group side of it is not necessarily what they're interested in. They're more interested in the speed and the, because the kind of runs we do are are going to be social. Yes, people will put in different efforts, but we'll always make sure that we never leave anybody behind. So nobody's really stretched on these runs, and it's all conversational speeds. So you can hold a conversation with somebody. I don't know whether maybe it's that young men aren't too keen on that, whereas the older you get, the more confident you get. I know we were speaking about this, so we were out, strangely enough, doing that Putnam run yesterday, and I was talking about this podcast, and I was saying to, well, I was running with three girls yesterday, and there were no men at all, but I was saying to the girls that, why do you think men don't come? And they were saying, well, one of the girls said, well, my husband wouldn't come because he would just be too shy to speak to people. He doesn't like conversations when he's out running. I don't know whether that's all men. That's a bit of a generalization, but we're not competitive. And I think younger people probably enjoy competitive a bit more. And you see it at events where you go to events like the Maverick races or the Surrey Hills or any of those kind of events, there's a good decent split there. There's a good 50-50 split of men and women and of age ranges. It's just the groups, the social runs don't seem to be able to attract a 50-50 split.
I always had a theory that, because generally speaking, when you see people walking their dogs, I normally see more women walking their dogs. So I didn't know if it was just something to do with women bonding with their dogs and wanting an alternative to dog walking and feeling safe and, you know, in a safer environment.
Yeah, that comes up quite well. It comes up quite often, the security side of it, in that I think one of the reasons why more women probably do is that they feel a lot safer, and they don't necessarily talk about it too often, but they hint at it. And you can, through the conversations you have with people, you can understand that they have a dog to go running with on their own or with a group because they feel safer. And that's not a problem men have. We do get couples where the man will run. Security and safety is definitely, and running in a group obviously helps with safety as well. If you're running in twos, threes, fives, tens, that's always a safety barrier for them. Whereas for men, again, it's not an issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice thing about Canicross. Well, I run at all different times, but you've got your dogs attached to you all the time. So I run with two dogs, so that's that's always makes me feel kind of super, super confident. It's really great to hear that. And obviously, we're about to chat with Derry, and I'm going to ask you the questions, Derry, because obviously it's weird if your wife asks you questions. I know that you got into the sport well before you're only in your just started in your 50s, so kind of you've been in the sport a long time, and one of my most fond memories is that you were the person, and you and Gail introduced me to the sport, and that's 10 years ago.
I remember it well.
And obviously who knew what was going to happen, but tell us about your journey into Canicross. How did you discover it and start out on the trails?
Well, Gail and I used to run a lot, road running mainly, and then we got into trail running, and we entered the Alice Holt, I think it was a half marathon.
Yeah, I think so.
And we went there and we did the race, and the side there, the little stands selling different things, and there was someone advertising or promoting Canicross, and we were thinking of getting a dog. And we just thought that was quite an interesting thing to sort of to do, to combine with the trail running. And basically that was it. That was started our curiosity. We looked up online and there was a local group. It wasn't very active at the time, but through making contact with that, we managed to find local people that could take us out and introduce us to the kit and everything connected with the Canicross. It was measured up and fired off with Gail on a race very soon. after we connected with a local group.
Yeah, well, I actually, we were out walking our dogs and I bumped into, you know, a good friend now, well, good friends, Tanya and Paul, who were at, they were meeting up for the Vigilamentes rescue.
Yeah.
And they were training to do a local race. And that, and I'd, we'd already been at this event in Alice Holt. We saw this because we'd seen this lady running with two huskies, and that's how we found out a bit about it. We didn't know where to get started. And it's only because we bumped into them when they were doing a training run. And I said, how do I get involved? How do I do this? And they said, come back next week and join us for a run. So I brought Red, which is, she's our Ridgeback Doberman Cross. She's an old girl now. She's nearly 13, but she was in her prime when she had her. And you can imagine, she's very athletic, big dog. And I thought, yeah, this would be great. And I think I did that run, and then the next week entered the race. But she got a taste for it, and she's a machine. Well, she was a machine. And I quickly handed her over to Derry, yeah. Delegate.
I love the way Gail said at the beginning, Gail's, I'm going to run with Red. I'm going to run with Red. After the race, obviously, you almost died. Said, she's your dog. I'll run with Sydney.
Yeah, went with the Staffy, who's a bit more closer to my gentle size. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you had to add a few more dogs because obviously there was two of you. So you had to add two dogs and then end up with two dogs each.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, yeah, at one point, yeah, that was a bit of a handful.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I know you're good at, Derry, because I've run just countless times with you, and you're always the person that does the navigating, which is brilliant, and leading the social groups that we've run with. But I know you know you've got loads of routes. So what do you use for that planning? Is that one side of it you really enjoy? Because I think, just as Brian said previously, you just get to discover all these amazing places that you wouldn't get to.
Completely, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what apps are you using, or how do you kind of go about that?
Well, I mean, initially it was just hit and miss, the places we walked and that. But then I found this app called Outdoors GPS, which is basically, it has the OS maps on there, and I think you can get an OS version. There's loads of different versions, but the OS maps, but obviously they show the bridle ways, the footpaths, the byways, so then you can get an idea where is good, and then it's just trial and error. I mean, we had loads of trial and error staring at my phone. Yeah, stopping when you think there's one path and you get to a junction and there's suddenly four paths and you don't know which way to go. And then there's the whole stinging nettles in the summer. Some paths you can't go down. Some paths in the winter is too muddy and you just can't. And then the places get flooded. So it's a really nice way to explore your local area where places you wouldn't normally go, like Brian said. You explore because you try and find different routes because it's that curiosity. You do one route and you do that a bit and say, okay, that's a nice route, but what else is out there?
Yeah, no,
keep doing different routes and trying to push different places and starting in different places as well, so then you can go further afield.
And you're good at remembering all those routes, I know.
After a while they do sink in, luckily, which is really handy. And you can do them without thinking.
But I do agree what Brian was saying earlier about the difference between road running, because I do a lot of road running and off-road, and I enjoy both. But you're right about, you end up pounding the same street.
Well, you can get you get to a stage where if you're doing road running, you've got the same scenery pretty much all the time. Whereas you go for a trail run, you can go for a few k. Of woodland, then you can go out into heathland, and you can go through open fields or fields full of sheep or horses or whatever, and it just changes so quickly. And it is, as Derry said, it's the adventure of, you get to somewhere. We did a new route from Milford up towards Haydon's Ball a couple of weeks ago that I'd not done before. And then normally I would go out with the dogs beforehand and walk it during the week just to see what it's like. But obviously with Mia being still young, we can't do that this year. So we wing it. But I had the same OS maps on the phone, and we run along and we get to a certain section, and then all of a sudden it's all three, four paths. Panic time. Yeah, it's that one here. Oh, no, it's not. Let's go back this way. It's up along here. But it's an adventure, and when you're doing it, you feel as though you have to get it right for everybody, and you're worried that people are going to think that this is absolutely crazy. But they absolutely love running through mud. They absolutely love running through stinging nettles. They absolutely love getting lost and having to turn around and come back again, because for them it's an adventure as well. And they absolutely love those kind of things,
and the change of the seasons as well. When the seasons change, the same run can be very different. Where we've done runs in Winterfold Wood when it's been snowing, and it's just you can't beat it. It's just picture perfect.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the dogs really don't mind at all, do they? They're just so pleased to be out, kind of running with you as well.
Yeah. Dogs absolutely love running. They're always very excited when the leads come out and their harnesses come out, or get in the car. They absolutely love it. The Mara was so bad when we used to go to races that I had to leave her in the car because she got so excited that she would burn all her energy off at the start of a race. She would jump up into the air 3-4 feet. We've done the Alice Holt, only the 10K, and she'd the half hour before, she was so excited to run that she was literally bouncing up and down. By the time we got halfway around, she was absolutely knackered and
she's had enough.
Races as well with Red, you know, up on her hindquarters.
Yeah,
is raring to go.
Yeah.
They've got no concept of how far you're going as well. And that's the other thing is that, if you're doing a short 7 or 8K run or a 25K run, they've got no idea. So they always start off at full blast, full pelt.
Yeah, they're all keen to go. But just going back, Derry, to your kind of early, I know that obviously you were a road runner before. Yeah. And then you've been canicrossing for many years now. What difference have you noticed on the fitness side, you know, between just road running, canicrossing? How do you feel? How does that compare, do you think?
I think, like Brian said, when you do road running, especially when you're younger, it is about speed and you're looking at times, you're looking at that side of things. But when you canicross, it's just about endurance. It's about going out. You don't think about it. You just run. And so whatever distance you're doing, so your endurance is really good. And obviously you've got a lot of time on your feet because you get lost, get a muddy path or you hit a big hill. So there is that side of it. So yeah, the endurance side goes up very high and you have a really good stamina, definitely. And you have good pelvic muscles by holding the dog's back.
A big dog like Red as well. But I know you've done quite a few events, you've done numerous events and quite competitively as well. What do you enjoy most about when you took part in those events?
There's a few things, I suppose. I mean, we try to get a little group of friends to go away, so you might pick an event that's quite far away. And so you go away for a weekend. So it's like a weekend away, which is nice. And then obviously running somewhere you've mostly never been before. And we've done the Coastal Trail Series, the Endurance Life, down in Exmoor, which is absolutely stunning. And it's places we've never been. I think we did that one twice in the end because it was so beautiful. Mm. And we've done quite a few of the other ones. And it does, again, just take you different places and see different parts of our wonderful country. And the scenery we have here.
And seeing the dogs enjoying it as well, because they
love it. Oh, yeah. And when you do marathons with the dogs, which we've done quite a few of them,
yeah,
see them afterwards totally content, laid out, sleeping, snoring their heads off,
that's like we are. That's just us.
It's just everyone's just really content and had a wonderful day.
And I think a big part of it, isn't it, is the training. Because when we've done our marathons, our trail marathons, we've done the training with the dogs. So it's their, I hate to use the word journey, but it is their journey as well. They've got, that goal was for all of us, the dogs included. So that sense of achievement. I mean, I've done races where with Sydney, our late dog or Staffy Sydney, and you'd finish the running, the race, and the first thing you do is turn to me and jump up and lick my face. He was so happy. They just get it. They know it's...
And like you say, when you train for a race, you train with the friends you're going to do the race with. So it's like doing a marathon but with a group of friends. So you train that whole schedule together, doing the long runs. And so it's a really nice way to get familiar with more your friends better, and their dogs, bonding with their dogs. So it's a really nice thing to do.
Yeah, lovely.
So what about you, Brian? What do you love most about Canicross? And don't just say trainers and cake.
Yes, well, that would be my top two. But I think it's the idea that you can just go out and enjoy other people's company and know that the dogs, I love my dogs. I absolutely adore my dogs, and they absolutely love running. But it's everybody's dogs that love running. And we run up to St. Martha's a few months ago. There was five or six of us. And I can just remember coming down the hill, and for a few minutes, everybody let their dogs off to play together. And the dogs just looked so happy. They were enjoying life so, so much. And for me, as long as the dogs are happy, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And they do really, really enjoy it. I sometimes take a friend's dog to come out running with us, and she's a rescue dog. And when we first started running with her, she was quite shy, and she would bark at the start of the run, and she would be anxious. And every time we tried to go, or every time we went past the dog, she would bark and snap at them. But the Canicross, when you see them in a group, she's so used to running in a group now that she still gets excited at the beginning, but it's not the reactive excitement, it's the joyful excitement of wanting to go out for a run. And you look at her face and you think, this dog just loves to run, absolutely loves to run. She gets her head down, she's got her nose near the ground, and she just off she goes, and she's not got a care in the world. She doesn't care about her mum that's sort of like either behind us or in front of us. She just loves to run. And to see dogs that happy is well, worth its weight in gold. So for us, for me, it's the as long as the dogs are happy and enjoying themselves and can still do it, then we'll carry on running.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we know that, you know, the dogs are happy, and obviously it kind of makes us happy as well. But, you know, Derry, what would you say about the whole mental health side and being out with the dogs? What's your sort of views on how that helps?
Well, it definitely helps. I mean, you know, we've gone out for runs, like in the summer when it's been a bit warm, we've gone out for sunrise, and we've run like down Newlands Corner when the sun's been rising, and it's the most incredible sunrise, the most beautiful red sky. And that sort of feeling you get when you're out with your dogs and they're happy, and like Brian said, you can't buy that. It's priceless. It definitely lifts your mood for sort of days and weeks almost.
Yeah,
it's just such a wonderful feeling to be out with the dogs.
Yeah,
seeing them happy and enjoying themselves, because we all love our dogs to pieces. Mm.
It helps with the winter blues, doesn't it, as well?
Oh,
I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. On the short days in the winter, to have going out when it is daylight and to be outside for a few hours in the sunshine is a huge boost to sort of get through those winter months.
We've done quite a few runs in the dark though with head torches, haven't we, over the years?
Used to do a lot of runs in the dark. Yeah, that was always interesting. But that was great fun as well. And that was always a very different experience. But yeah, it's super good for, I'm sure, for mental health. I mean, it's made me really happy over the years, for sure.
Yeah. I think that's quite an important one, actually, mental health, because we often overlook that. And, you know, we talk about, you know, Canicross and the whole social aspect and getting fit with your dog. But, you know, the byproduct of that is it really helps with your mental health and your mood. And I think that is applicable to men and women, you know, and that's why we always say get out and go out with your dog. You know, if you are a man listening to this podcast and thinking, I want to give it a go, you know, it's like, try it, because that's whole social side. Like, to your point, Brian, you don't have to always race. You can still take part in events, but do the social runs for different benefits, you know, for your dog's benefit, and for yourself, just to be out with other people. I think it's a very important topic that we probably don't touch on enough.
I think the dogs themselves enjoy company of being in a pack. And I think, I mean, my dogs will run with me. We run midweek during the day, And they're quite happy to run just the two of us or three of us or with other people, with a small group. But when they get into the larger groups, the dogs absolutely love being in a pack. And that then feeds your happiness, because if your dog's happy, then you're happy. And it doesn't even need to be a long run. I mean, we do some where at the weekends where we're only doing 6-7K. I'm saying only 6-7K.
That sounds like a lot for some people.
Yes, and I'm conscious that I'm careful when I talk about this to people that sign up or people that come on our group runs. I'm conscious to try to not use that terminology, because I hate to put anybody off from running with us, because I think once they've experienced it, they realize that it's not about running and leaving people behind because they're so slow. Everybody runs at their own pace, and we stop every X number of kilometers, and we make sure that everybody is included. And I'll try and chat to everybody on a run. I think that once they've tried it and they appreciate how much fun it can be, that the endorphins coming through on after a run when your dog's happy and you've had a good run and somebody's brought cake and
yeah. it's absolutely lovely. And with the social groups, and you know we've got people, well, I don't know that anybody that's tried it that doesn't like it. And obviously one of the reasons when we started DogFit was to help those people that didn't have the confidence to join a social group, wanted to kind of understand how to get started and start off very slowly with a trainer, one of our DogFit partners, maybe an intro class, a one-to-one yeah. class. And then after they've got their confidence and they're learning to canicross, they then feel a bit more confident to be able to join a social group like the one that you run.
We have lots of, I don't know the numbers, but on a fairly regular basis, we have people coming that have been to trainers, local or otherwise, DogFit trainers, that then come along. I know two or three that ran on Saturday that I know came from original taster sessions and one-to-one coaching with DogFit trainers. So it definitely does work. And they definitely enjoy it.
I mean, hopefully it gives them that confidence just to take the first step. And that was, you know, one of the reasons that our trainers are out there to hold people's hands, yeah. show them how to do it, and then they can go on from there.
If they're not from a running background as well, that's the yeah. thing. If you've got a dog and you're thinking of running, I yes. think it's very hard to then join a club.
It is all about the chatting and the the social side of it, which makes it so special and enjoyable, and mental health wise, I mean, it's got to be a phenomenal boost. Even when we go out, and we do go out in all weathers, we get slightly smaller groups in the really adverse conditions, but we still get people go out, and they will still chat about all sorts of nonsense on the way around when it's 2 degrees and it's absolutely sideways on raining cats and dogs, but they still come out because they enjoy the company.
Know they're going to feel good afterwards.
Yeah, and the dogs don't care what the weather's like. Right. So
absolutely,
I think some of my most memorable runs have been in like treacherous conditions, like yeah. hail from the sideways and.
Yes,
because you do remember those ones. Because when people you're with, you talk about it year for years. Because yes. they do stick in your mind.
The other great thing about trail running is that every trail is different. So you can do a 10K on a nice flat trail and do it at a fairly decent pace, and then I can find you a 10K trail with hills and boggy marshes and mud that would be. Probably take you nearly twice as long, 1.5 times the time. But nobody cares about the time. It's just that they care about having the fun.
Sounds like one of those undulating runs.
Yeah. Yes. I'm the same. I absolutely love a hill now, and I'd say as an old road runner, I used to hate hills, but hills now I think are absolutely superb.
The good thing about a hill, you're pretty much guaranteed a view somewhere.
And a downhill.
And a downhill.
What goes up must come down.
Well, hopefully we're encouraging listeners after listening to this to try it, and more men coming out in the sport. Yes. But just to kind of wrap up, I mean, Brian, what advice would you give to any kind of men listening to this, maybe thinking it's not for them, or, you know, they're going to feel uncomfortable? What a piece of advice would you give to them?
Just give it a go. Just really give it a go, because I think the mental health benefits are second to none. And the camaraderie with the people that you run with, you don't realize. I used to run on my own quite a lot, and it's hard running on your own. Running isn't exciting. Pounding out those miles on your own is okay, but it's not fun. Whereas you start running with a group and running with your dog, it's double fun, and it makes life easier. I don't mind going for runs now. I spent the first 5 years of road running having to push myself out the door, which is why I got Mara in the first place. She was going to be my motivation, because she has to go out for either a walk or a run every day. So my idea was that she was going to get me out the door. Well, she certainly does that. And I enjoy it now. Whereas before I would be, oh, okay, you get the endorphins when you come back. But now, even going out, I don't mind at all. So, yeah, give it a try. Start off on your own if you want, if you think that's going to be the way you want to try it. But your dog will definitely, definitely enjoy running in a pack. They always do. If they're reactive, if they're sensitive, if they're not quite comfortable with other dogs, you'd be surprised, once they get into a pack, in a canicross pack, how much they enjoy running with other dogs, running by the side of the dogs. Some of them will be ultra competitive and will always want to be out the front, but I can guarantee your dogs will always enjoy it.
Yeah, well, that's a great recommendation. I mean, that's the thing, that we know that the dogs are having a great time. Yeah. But what about you, Derry? What piece of advice would you give to anyone listening to this?
Well, again, like Brian said, give it a go. I mean, you'll find, if you join a local club or once you get into it, you'll go places locally you didn't know existed, which is fantastic to do. It is just, and the social side is really nice. Once you've been and you have started to sort of talk to people, you will make friends, which is a lovely thing. And they'll be local pretty much as well. So we've made loads of friends that we see socially all the time. Yeah. So it's a fantastic thing from both sides, as well as the fitness.
Yeah, and of course, the two things in common, haven't you? One, you've all got a dog. That you love dogs, and two,
about dogs.
Enjoying
running.
So
yes,
a win-win.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
There's nothing dog owners like more than talking about their dogs. So you know you're in the same sort of company.
Having a conversation about.
Well, exactly, because people love to talk about running and they love to talk about dogs.
Yeah.
So if you have both available. Then yes, definitely give it a go.
Well,
you know what, it's been absolutely brilliant to have you both along today, and I really hope you've managed to inspire, you know, a few people to come and give it a go, men and women, because it really is a fantastic sport, and both of you have really, you know, got across just how beneficial it is and how big, it's a massive part of your lives, basically, isn't it, canicross? You know, we shouldn't dismiss that, but it's been brilliant talking to you both, and thank you for sharing your words of wisdom, and Brian, we look forward to hearing all about Mia, MIA, missing in action.
Thankfully her recall is absolutely superb at the moment, but
to hear it.
We'll see how that goes when she gets into her adolescent years, but
Fantastic. Brilliant. Well, thanks a lot, both of you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Canicross. We really hope that you've enjoyed it. But don't forget to hit subscribe so we can keep you up to date and let you know when the next episode comes out. Happy canicrossing.